The Trumpet Daily Program begins right now.
Today's world news, what it means, where it's taking us.
I bring you the one and only possible message of world peace.
This is a message of hope, tremendous hope. And he said unto me, you must prophesy again.
The Trumpet Daily Program begins right now.
If this reporting is true, and I'm trying not to use hyperbole, this is game over. There's no way that he will not be charged. One, it's a tape recording. Even though the reporting is there are also witnesses, so there could be tape recording with witnesses. It involves not just possession of classified information, but dissemination of classified information. That puts it into a completely different ballpark when you're at the Department of Justice examining the seriousness of the violation and whether to bring charges.
They got him. I mean, this is it. They have finally gotten Trump. There's Bob Mueller's pit bull, Andrew Weissman. He goes straight from the Mueller investigation into a cushy job at MSNBC. And now he's there to tell you that Trump is finished. You're listening to Stephen Fleury, and this is The Trumpet Daily. We appreciate you joining us on today's show. You can get to the live video stream of this show through our website, trumpetdaily.com. Comes to you every weekday morning at 11 a.m. in the central time zone of the United States. Of course, you can also go to our Rumble channel. Just go to Rumble and search for The Trumpet Daily, and you can watch the live stream there, and you can also watch these shows after the fact if you choose to watch on demand. So, right on cue, I mean, here's the big story about this website that's posting, 10,000 photos of Hunter Biden with all the prostitutes and the drugs and the criminal behavior. But they got Trump. They got him on tape. You can't listen to the tape. No. You just take their word for it. They will tell you what's on the tape. And then you can know that Trump's going to go off to prison for years and years and years because they know that whatever's on this tape, it's damning. It really and truly is. They finally got him. What a perfect, perfect distraction away from the Biden crime family. When it gets really hot for the Biden crime family, when the heat is on, well, just talk about Trump moving boxes. Of course. He has moved boxes, and it might be on tape that he was moving boxes. He had the classified documents. This is revealed on the tape that they're telling you about. It was so serious. He told whoever was there that this is serious classified material, but I can't show you. Now, on the one hand, it's Trump's totally lawless. On the other hand, he's really upholding the laws and respecting the fact that these are classified documents. What a joke. It's a broken record, is it not? For what is it now? 7 years? 7 years! And here again, they finally got him. They got him because of a tape recording. Another tape recorder, just like Vindman, I guess. I mean, the phone call, they got it on tape. And then when it was finally revealed what was on tape, it was a big nothing burger, right? That's what will happen here. But the leaks, I mean, the leaks, that's how you go after Trump. That's how you distract people away from the Biden crime family. CNN, it says, CNN has not listened to the recording, but multiple sources described it. Well, that sounds very serious. Very serious. CNN hasn't heard it themselves, but, I mean, they've talked to sources. Sources have revealed what's on the tapes. So this is serious, says CNN. It says further on, Glasser reported that in the months following the election, Milley, that's Mark Milley, repeatedly argued against striking Iran and was concerned Trump might set in motion a full-scale conflict that was not justified. Here again, all the things Donald Trump might have done. Milley was really concerned about Trump unloading on Iran. There were no wars during the Trump presidency, by the way. But, I mean, they were really concerned about what Trump might do. I mean, he criticized Kayleigh McEnany on a tweet yesterday. This is serious. He's unhinged. He can't. Donald Trump can't criticize anybody. And these people, they want Donald Trump's head. That's right. They want his head on a platter. They can say whatever they want about Donald Trump. With Hunter, I mean, imagine if Hunter was a Republican. All of these revelations today with the hookers and whatever else. Imagine if he was a Republican, how they would go after him. But instead, they cover up his crimes. They cover up the crimes of the Biden crime family. And they go after Trump on moving boxes. There you go. It says here on the recording, and in response to the story, Trump brings up the document, which he says came from Milley. Trump told those in the room that if he could show it to people, it would undermine what Milley was saying. So within the article, they're basically revealing the fact that Trump wouldn't show the document to the people in the room. He was that concerned about the classified status. He was obeying the law, I guess. And at the same time, just recklessly lawless in all that he was doing. Is that what we're to take away from this? Says several sources say the recording captures the sound of paper rustling as if Trump was waving the document around. Can you believe this? They actually captured the sound of papers rustling? Wow, what a revelation. Great reporting from CNN. They got the papers. Finally! Finally, they got the papers rustling. Surely this is the end of Trump. This is yet another joke, complete joke. These people, they take themselves so seriously. This is from Sundance on this whistleblower, on the document, rather, that Chris Wray is sitting on. The deadline passed yesterday, and he didn't turn it over. Sundance says, a whistleblower approached Congress stating the FBI had a report, an unclassified FD-1023, detailing a conversation with a confidential human source that outlined Vice President Joe Biden taking a $5 million payment from a foreign national to affect a U.S. policy decision. The FBI agent responsible for investigating the CHS claim was FBI Supervisory Intelligence Analyst Brian Auten, a sketchy character from the Trump-Russia probe. It says the probe. The investigative events took place in June and July of 2020 during the presidential election year. Imagine that. It was happening right when Biden was campaigning from the basement. And, of course, your FBI carefully covered it all up. The fact that he's running for president and he's receiving bribes as vice president under Barack Hussein Obama, that's not that big of a deal. Same thing with Hunter's laptop. Let's just cover actually better. Let's say it's Russian disinformation. That's what they said. That's how they lied. It says the FBI investigative team didn't see any effort by an FBI member to substantiate it. Hence, a whistleblower with specific knowledge of the details in the allegation surfaces and tells Congress the FBI is hiding the FD-1023 that outlines the confidential human source allegation. It says here, Congress requested the document. The FBI refused to provide it. House Oversight Committee Chair James Comer then set a compliance deadline while he coordinated with Senator Chuck Grassley. The FBI still refused to turn it over. And basically, the FBI admitted as much yesterday that, well, the document's real, but, you know, we still can't turn it over. We're still going to cover this up. This is our job. We've got to cover the crimes of the Biden crime family. And haven't you heard of Trump moving boxes? He's on tape. They got him rustling papers on tape. Did you know this? Listen to this reporter yesterday grilling John Kirby on the Biden crime family. This is clip six.
There was a Harvard-Harris poll this month that found that 53% of the public, including a fourth of Democrats, believe, quote, Joe Biden was involved with his son in an illegal influence peddling scheme. There's, of course, evidence that the president interacted with his relatives, associates from China, Mexico, Kazakhstan, Russia, and Ukraine. So what do you say to the majority of Americans who believe that the president is himself corrupt?
Wow, Jesus.
Can I take that question?
The president spoken to this. The president has spoken to this, and there's nothing to these claims.
No, nothing at all. 53% of Americans think that he's corrupt, but hey, just dismiss it. And then, of course, the regime media, they'll take those marching orders there from John Kirby and just proceed to cover it up. God is exposing. He's exposing these many sins. All of this criminal behavior, he's exposing the Biden crime family. Never mind what the regime media will or will not report. The fact remains, people see through it. I mean, the reporter there that put forward that poll, 53%! They believe that the Biden crime family is exactly that, a criminal enterprise. And Kirby and others can laugh it off and dismiss it, and say that the Bidens have already answered these claims, or they've already responded, everything's above board. People don't believe it. How much longer is the Biden crime family going to be able to withstand these many reports, like Just the News is reporting today? Again, this website set up to show you, it's probably some pretty disgusting stuff, but to show you what's on the Hunter laptop. Isn't that great? Imagine if Hunter was a Republican. I mean, it would be wall-to-wall coverage, for sure. This is from CBS. It says, whistleblowers allege derogatory evidence against Hunter Biden placed in highly restricted systems that prevent other FBI investigators from reviewing in course of related work. It says, FBI declined comment. Multiple Justice Department whistleblowers have come forward. There's more and more whistleblowers coming forward. And of course, the FBI, they have no comment. No comment. They don't hand over documents. They don't have comments. When they're pressed, when they're really pressed hard, they say, well, we can't reveal sources and methods. So thanks very much for your oversight. But there's no oversight here. We're running the show. We're running the operation. We're running the investigation. Or we're covering up. We're covering up the crimes. That's what we do. This is from CBS yesterday, clip 8.
Justice Department whistleblowers have raised concerns over the FBI's handling of Hunter Biden's investigation, or rather an investigation into Hunter Biden. Allegations include irregular handling of evidence and a claim that, quote, standard investigatory practices were not being followed. They also claim that disparaging evidence related to President Biden's son was labeled as misinformation. The FBI said it has no comment.
Of course. No comment. Just believe us. Look, listen, if we heard the tape, we'll tell you what's on there, if it's incriminating or not. We'll tell you. You can trust us. We're the FBI. This is from the New York Post. Michael Goodwin, he says, other whistleblowers have also come forward, including more than 20, who told the House Judiciary Committee that the FBI is deeply politicized in favor of Democrats and the far left. I think we played the clip for you yesterday from Jim Comey, who said, yeah, it was a little messy here and there. We made a few mistakes. But look, you should fully believe that the FBI is independent. It's non-political at all. I mean, it's not Republican or Democrat. No, no. What a joke. It's laughable, isn't it? Three of the whistleblowers had their security clearances revoked as they prepared to testify. Perhaps the most intriguing of those who came forward was Gary Shapley, the whistleblower who alleges the IRS has slow-walked the Hunter Biden case to avoid filing charges. Well, yeah, they just pretty much, the DOJ fired the entire operation at the IRS as they were looking into Hunter, because Hunter Hunter is perfect. Hunter hasn't committed any crimes, so we don't even investigate him. It says here, the so-called investigation is in its fifth year, yet it's interesting that the suspect never demands an ending. It says the only reasonable conclusion is that an honest resolution of the facts would mean a felony indictment with numerous counts. It says further on, he later said the agency responded to his claims by removing his entire 12-person team from the probe. The DOJ comes in there and says, hey, how many guys you got in the IRS working on Hunter's tax evasion? 12? Okay, let's fire them. Let's put an end to this investigation. And then we're supposed to just see this and, I guess, carry on and say, yeah, FBI, good. FBI above reproach. FBI, totally independent. FBI without any fault or sin whatsoever. God sees it otherwise. It's a sickness. Isaiah 1 says it's a sickness from head to toe. And it's truth be told, it's not even just one political party that is sick. It's the entire uniparty. They're all in it together. Look at the way Kevin McCarthy surrendered to the radical left. I mean, you had more Democrats voting for this debt ceiling bill than you had Republicans. And McCarthy's out there. He's basically out there patting himself on the back. Yeah, that's right. He's taking a victory lap. He couldn't have gotten this through without Hakeem Jeffries and the Democrats. And they're all out there bragging. The Democrats are bragging. And so is Kevin McCarthy. So much for promises kept. He can't even defund the 87,000 IRS agents that Joe Obama wants to persecute you, to go after you, just the ordinary Americans. Listen to Kevin McCarthy yesterday talking about just how wonderful this debt ceiling deal is. Clip one.
I've been thinking about this day before my vote for speaker, because I knew the debt ceiling was coming. I wanted to make history. I wanted to do something no other Congress has done, that we would literally turn the ship. That for the first time in quite some time, we'd spend less than we spent the year before. Tonight, we all made history because this is the biggest cut and savings this Congress has ever voted for. And it's not that we're just voting for it. This is going to be law. $2.1
trillion. $4 trillion added to the debt in the next 20 months. And he's out there bragging as if this is some big kind of cut. Like, we're really tightening our belts. And really, it's open-ended. It's at least $4 trillion added. They're basically just handing Joe Biden, that would be Barack Hussein Obama, a blank check. Just do what you want. Do whatever you want. Spend what you will. And we'll just step aside and let you do it. It's unbelievable, the dishonesty in these people. I mean, you know, the moment everybody speaks up and you see that they're all in agreement, that's when you know. That's when you know that America suffers yet again. Bitter affliction. Bitter affliction, for sure. Listen to Mitch McConnell as he talks about this deal. Clip two.
I think Speaker McCarthy should be congratulated on capturing a number of priorities. And the best way to look at the difference. 2 years ago, we were in the process of spending $1.9 trillion. And then last year, another $750 billion. So we've gone from one party spending $2.7 trillion in 2 years to a discussion about actually reducing government spending.
They're not reducing anything. It's spend, spend, spend. Spend your way to oblivion. That's right. And this is, I mean, this is one, this is certainly one policy point that both parties can agree on. Spend like drunken sailors. except that they don't even have the cash in their pocket as a sailor to spend. They're just making it up. They're just printing money. It's like monopoly money for these people. Listen to the House Democratic leader. This is Hakeem Jeffries talking about the debt ceiling deal, clip 3.
In that meeting, I made clear that I'm going to support the legislation that is on the floor today, and that I support it without hesitation, reservation, or trepidation. Not because it's perfect, but in divided government, we, of course, cannot allow the perfect to be the enemy of the good. And President Biden did an incredibly good job under difficult circumstances in protecting some key priorities and values for the well-being of the American people.
Wow, that's Nancy Pelosi's replacement there, who says that he fully accepts this deal without hesitation, reservation, or even trepidation. No trepidation whatsoever. He loves it. More, just to give you the numbers again, more Democrats voted for this bill than Republicans have a majority in the House. Republicans, McCarthy didn't need the Freedom Caucus. He didn't need the hardliners on the right because he had Hakeem Jeffries and all the Democrats that loved them some spending more money. $4 trillion. This is post-COVID spending. It continues. We're going into 2024 and it's going to continue. Even without the crises, the trillions and trillions of dollars that are added to the debt, it just continues. This is the new normal. This is the way they spend. These are the bills they pass. And then McCarthy comes out and takes a victory lap of all things. It's almost too much to stomach, isn't it? Because it's just sickening to see the country dying. God says in Ezekiel 33, "Why will you die, O Israel? Why will you die?" Here the name, even the name of Israel is being blotted out. And you've got these people out there from both sides. The Uniparty is out there in full force. Hey, we're doing everything just right. It's perfect what we've drawn up here. This is perfect legislation. That's what they're saying. Even as the nation dies, listen to Jen Psaki. She was the former press spokesperson for the Joe Obama administration. Clip 4.
I would say, though, with this debt limit deal specifically, which is, yes, there are things that progressives in the party, Rokana, others don't like, is a very good deal for Joe Biden, considering what the options would have been.
Wow, good deal. Jen Psaki loves it. Biden loves it. Obama loves it. Mitch McConnell loves it. Hakeem Jeffries loves it. Kevin McCarthy, he certainly loves it. What's not to like about this then? When they all agree, you know you've been sold down the river. Listen to Kevin McCarthy again talking about Democrats supporting this legislation, how that's no problem. Clip 5.
This was an overwhelming bipartisan vote, but does it say something that more Democrats voted for this bill than Republicans? And do you have any regrets on not pushing for any deeper spending cuts that could have got some of the conservative members on board?
Okay, so let's see. Deeper spending cuts. Non-defense spending, you take vets out, is lower than it was in 2022. What we just proved was Democrats were here and they spent $6 trillion. They brought us inflation, everything else. They said only thing they would do is just raise the debt limit. Well, now they voted for work requirements. Now they just voted to put PAYGO on their on all of our president, that he can't go create a new regulation or others without cutting before that. They now just capped spending for 1% for the next 6 years.
Didn't take them long, did it, to reveal his true colors? He's a big spending Republican. He had all the leverage, and yet he meets with Joe Biden, evidently. Who knows? who else was conducting the negotiation for the communist left. But he basically gives them everything that they want. Jen Psaki couldn't be happier with what they got from Kevin McCarthy and from the majority, the Republican majority in the House. When we come back, we'll touch on a few other news items before we conclude today with our Bible study. If you'd like to submit some feedback to the show, you can reach us through email, td@thetrumpet.com. You're listening to Stephen Fleury, and this is The Trumpet Daily. We'll be right back.
The Trumpet Daily. The Armstrong College Bible Correspondence Course is a distance learning program that makes the Bible clear and understandable. The correspondence course enables enrollees to learn what the Bible itself says about subjects that affect you and the world you live in. This fascinating Bible course highlights and proves what the Bible says about morality, war, religion, terrorism, and other current events, focusing on the root causes of this world's many problems facing man, as well as their solutions. The Bible and this course also focuses on the reason mankind was created in the first place, the way to happiness, accomplishment, and fulfillment, as well as the truth behind important doctrinal questions, such as what happens after we die, the nature of God, the resurrection, the millennium, and other critical subjects. Enroll today in the Herbert W. Armstrong Bible Correspondence Course. Email your request to td@kpcg.fm or visit thetrumpet.com.
The Trumpet Daily.
Yeah, DeSantis is down a lot, but I do wonder about Trump continuing to attack him. I know that that's what they do, and it's hurt other people. It's hurt other Republican candidates, particularly in 2016. But no one has attacked Trump from the right on social issues the way that Ron DeSantis is doing it. In Iowa, I could see it. I could see him winning.
DeSantis has a chance. Since he announced, his poll numbers keep going down. In fact, if you look at his peak, the high watermark for DeSantis, it was back in March, and then it was just plummeting thereafter. They had to hurry him out to make his announcement that he's running for president, hoping that the regime media would throw support behind him, just like you heard there. But it's not working. It's not. Just think about Donald Trump for a moment. And, you know, it's even implied in that little soundbite. She talks about how that, hey, DeSantis, his attacks on Trump are working. But now Trump, how dare he attack? He can't attack. Donald Trump can't attack. This is what they hate. Because he goes after them and he exposes them. He exposes them as the frauds that they are. And his numbers just continue to climb. Just think about Donald Trump and the attacks that he's withstood since 2015. I mean, we're going on 8 years here. And he just gets more and more popular. He's as popular as ever. It was in March. I mean, he was leading DeSantis by 15, 20%. Now it's 35, 40%. How do you explain this? When everybody and their dog are against him, everybody attacks Donald Trump. And if he responds with one with one counterattack, how dare he? Look at what he said to Kayleigh McEnany. She was his press secretary. You can't criticize her. She's above reproach. And Trump just carries on with his message. Hey, the rhinos can have her. If the rhinos really love Kayleigh McEnany, then she can join the rhinos. There's plenty of them to go around. They're all supporting the debt ceiling deal. This is from Newsweek. Talk about delusional. It says here, have you noticed the political paradox happening right now? During the first 2 years of Joe Biden's presidency, Biden notched massive achievements that any president would envy and earned an approval rating that would make them faint. Whoever this guy is, Matt Robinson, is that who it is? He just thinks Biden is fantastic, and he can't understand why he's not more popular. I'm sure he has a cushy job there at Newsweek. It says here, the achievements list is long. Greatest single year of job creation in American history. The lowest unemployment in 50 years. The biggest yearly increase in U.S. manufacturing jobs. The most successful American vaccination program in history. Lowering prescription. It's hard to take this seriously. But he loves him some Biden. Boy, he does. It says, and the political payoff, Biden's approval at 42%. Only Trump, Reagan, and Carter were lower at this point in their presidency. And the Democratic base feeling decidedly meh among young voters, the supposed strength of the left, a meager 27% of millennials and 31% of Gen Z now choose to identify as Democrats. In other words, these are catastrophic numbers coming in response to this supposedly very, 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 very successful presidency. Delusional reasoning, to say the least. This is from the Washington Examiner. It says here, the Justice Department announced Wednesday it is suing the son of Governor Jim Justice and 13 coal companies he owns to collect unpaid civil penalties, according to records assessed by the Department of the Interior. It says the suit comes as Justice, who is popular among West Virginia voters, announced last month he will challenge Senator Joe Manchin, who is often the swing vote on key legislation in Congress. So right on cue, right on cue. The DOJ unleashes the watchdogs against a guy that's going up against Manchin. You don't challenge Manchin. He's a good liberal. He's a good Democrat, or rhino, for sure. He kind of straddles the fence, does Manchin. But if you challenge him in West Virginia, then the DOJ is going to be coming after you, just like Ken Paxton. Yeah, they're going after him, impeaching him. A Republican-led legislature in Texas. It says a lot about just how red Texas actually is, or maybe not so red. They go after Ken Paxton, wildly popular in Texas, but he came out and said the quiet part out loud. He said the election was stolen. He said that this is what we did to fight against election fraud. We had to do it before the election of 2020, and he succeeded. So they're going after him now because of that. Speaking of election steals, this is from Conservative Brief. It says former Arizona GOP gubernatorial nominee Carrie Lake got some more good news from a state judge on Friday in regard to the 2022 election lawsuits. It says Superior Court Judge Peter Thompson denied a request to sanction Lake over her lawsuits following her loss to now Democratic Governor Katie Hobbs. She's another one who's terribly unpopular, just like Joe Biden, because they stole it. The communists are in power. And people, excepting a very few like Kerry Lake and Donald Trump, they won't fight against it. They just step aside and let it happen. And states and the country suffers as a result. It says here in his ruling, Thompson noted that Lake's legal team found 274,000 signatures during the trial that were compared in under 2 seconds, and 70,000 signatures that were reviewed in under 1 second. You saw the footage. We played it for you. Just some guy going through there, hitting the button. Return, 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 return. Never. It's on videotape, of all things. And some judge decided that, you know what, there's just no evidence of election fraud. How do you come to a state where it's fair and just in a system such as that, with judges as corrupt as that? It's straight out of the opening chapter of Habakkuk, where the evil just surrounds the righteous. If you speak the truth, you see, you make yourself a prey. That's what happens. Going back to those economy numbers, this is from the USA Today. It says, reckless spending and inflation are forcing many Americans to unretire. You read a little bit from Newsweek about just how wonderful the Biden presidency is? here's one that speaks to the truth. People are coming out of retirement because the economy is so dreadful. It's so terrible. Older Americans are increasingly unretiring to deal with elevated prices and rocky financial positions. So they can go on and on about, well, we've added all these jobs after COVID, by the way. We've added all these unemployment's just down. Never mind those who are not even seeking employment, those that aren't even registered anymore, as far as the figures are concerned. They just go on and on. Everything's great. I can't believe Biden's not more popular. Really? Open your eyes and look at what's happening to the United States. Look at what's happening to the economy. People are coming out of retirement because it is so bad. That's the truth. And I mean, that's in the USA. That's in the USA Today. One last one here from Fox News. Giant grocery chain fighting to keep stores open as theft violence has increased exponentially. How about this one, Newsweek? What about the crime? What about the stores that are closing because of out of control crime? It says here, one grocery chain is fighting hard to keep stores open despite rampant shoplifting and an uptick in violence, forcing many retailers to leave major cities across the country. Giant Food, which operates 165 supermarkets, that's mostly in the Northeast. I mean, they're fighting just to keep stores open because the crime is out of control. It's a shame. Speaking of the Northeast, by the way, to focus in on some very positive news, Celtic Throne performed last night in front of a sold-out audience in Millville, New Jersey. It was a smaller theater, about a 700-seat theater. But when we come back, we'll play. You've heard the feedback before in response to Celtic Throne. But this one, I mean, this one from New Jersey, really, it really does. I think it's the top level of excitement and enthusiasm for the show than we've ever captured on audio. So make sure that you stay tuned for that alone. Get the feedback from New Jersey in response to the Celtic Throne performance just last night. You're listening to Stephen Fleury, and this is The Trumpet Daily. We'll be right back.
The Trumpet Daily. Is marriage on the way out? Is the institution of the home, with its family life, to disappear from society? How and when did the institution of marriage originate? Does it, after all, serve any necessary purpose? Why Marriage, Soon Obsolete, takes an in-depth look at the institutions of marriage, the home and family life, and reveals a startling, even shocking truth, which has been altogether overlooked by science, by religion, by education, and by society. To learn more, please visit thetrumpet.com.
The Trumpet Daily.
It amazes me how quickly their feet can move and how beautiful and elegant it looks at the same time.
It's actually very cool to see how, you know, quick they're on their feet and how much energy that they have when they're dancing.
And it was amazing.
Just amazing. We're so, I made tears of joy. Tears of joy. It was just so fabulous.
Great show. Choreography's phenomenal.
It's very inspiring by how they move their feet and how fast they are.
I thought it was an amazing show. I love how they have such energy. They're like constantly in the air.
So much energy. We love it. We love it. We love all the ages, like the little ones all the way up to the adults. It's awesome.
The show is like professional. I cannot believe they're kids. I can't believe it. It is amazing. I saw a real river dance. It was amazing. And this Great. Is just, I can't believe they're kids. Yeah. I can't believe they're like in a school together. It's wonderful.
It's fantastic. Loved it.
It was amazing. Absolutely amazing.
You guys were great. It was fabulous.
Thank you.
Loved it. Come again.
It was excellent.
I thought it was great. Fabulous. Honestly, it really was from beginning to end. Everything, the singing, the music, Beautiful.
Wonderful, wonderful show. Very energetic. Fantastic. Musicians, dancers, story, everything. Great.
Oh, it was awesome. We are so glad we came.
Fantastic. The energy on these guys is just amazing.
It was very energetic. I was tired just watching them.
Oh, it was great. It was just fun. It was just fun.
Wonderful. Thank you.
Wonderful. Lighting was fantastic.
Be back again if they have it again.
Thank you. Fantastic. It was really good. It was like probably the best one I've been to here.
Sorry, I did Irish dance since I was 6. It was absolutely phenomenal. They did such a great job.
Fantastic. Couldn't be any better. Come back again because I want to see it again. Right. My whole family wants to come see it. They're mad at me because I didn't bring anybody. It wasn't long enough. It's got to be a little longer.
We almost wanted an
encore. I know you guys were tired, but that was awesome.
I loved it. I loved it.
We've been to many shows in this facility. We live right up the block. We've been to many, many shows. The best show I've ever seen. My heart's still pounding. I have to talk to the cardiologist now. And I didn't even do all the dancing these guys did. I think this qualifies as a cardio workout.
You can just see the passion that they love what they're doing and they love who they do it with. They were just so all in. In fact, we even already mentioned it to a guy that works here about, hey, listen, you got to have him back next year and we'll bring friends. And he said, I wasn't even the first one who told him that.
Even the message, like at the end where you had the, you know, things are falling apart kind of stuff, didn't dwell on that, made the statement, but then came out with such a message of hope.
Message of hope. There you go. That's some feedback from Millville, New Jersey. A small little theater, the Lavoy Theater. Seats about 700 people, but they were all packed in. A sold-out performance for Celtic Throne. The next stop on the tour is Wilmington, Delaware, of all places. Hopefully we can get over to see Hunter Biden's Corvette and the classified documents spread about the garage there on the beach in Wilmington. We'll do that Monday afternoon. Monday night. Make sure that you turn out for the show. If you're anywhere close to Wilmington, how could you not go and see this production, given what people just said right there? Go to CelticThrone.com. CelticThrone.com. And you can scroll down a little bit. It takes you right to the tabs of all of these theaters that we'll be performing in the next 5-6 weeks. The next show, as I say, this Monday night in Wilmington, Delaware. That follows, by the way, the Sunday personal appearance campaign that my father will be putting on also in Wilmington. There you can see the tabs, the yellow tabs for the next few shows, June 5th in Wilmington. June 7 in York, Pennsylvania. I believe they've got some special promotional events Tuesday night, June the 6th, at a minor league baseball game or somewhere in the Northeast where they're going to be performing and promoting Celtic Throne. Again, CelticThrone.com gives you all the information that you need if you'd like to see one of these riveting performances. Yesterday I talked about the importance of family and preparing for our role as the bride of Jesus Christ. It says in Revelation 19 that she will have made herself ready for the marriage to Christ. My father gave a program just recently, a Key of David program, Marriage and Family Life is a God-plane relationship. That's the latest Key of David program. Here's a sampling from that, clip 11.
When you're talking about this God-plane relationship, it's about that stupendous potential that human beings have to enter into the God family. But it's even super colossal because you're going to get to marry Jesus Christ. If you are the first fruits, those are the people who have come out and done God's work and delivered God's message before the second coming of Jesus Christ. So God is saying this is the greatest opportunity that you'll ever have any time in all eternity. It is the opportunity to sit on the throne of David with Jesus Christ as his bride and rule this world, and then go on from there and rule the entire universe. We need to think about that because there's nothing to compare with it. And here God wants us to have a, let's say, a happy marriage, which is really a type of our marriage to Jesus Christ.
That's my father from his recent program. Yesterday on the show, I didn't quite have time to get into the parable there in Matthew 22. But it says here, and Jesus, this is verse 1, and Jesus answered and spoke unto them again by parables and said, the kingdom of heaven is like unto a certain king which made a marriage for his son and sent forth his servants to call them that were bidden to the wedding, and they would not come. Again, he sent forth other servants, saying, tell them which are bidden, behold, I have prepared my dinner. My oxen and my fatlings are killed, and all things are ready. Come unto the marriage. But they made light of it. And they went their ways, it says, one to his farm and another to his merchandise. They made excuses, in other words. They couldn't come to the wedding. They had too many material things to attend to. Verse 6 says, and the remnant took his servants and entreated them spitefully and slew them. I mean, some even scoffed and killed the servants of all things. Verse 7, but when the king heard thereof, he was wroth, and he sent forth his armies and destroyed those murderers and burned up their city. And then said he to his servants, the wedding is ready, but they which were bidden were not worthy. Will you be worthy to marry Jesus Christ? The Bible talks about us watching and praying so that we're ready. Matthew 24, verse 44. It says, be ready, for in such an hour you think not the Son of Man comes. I mean, we've got to be ready for the return of Christ. First Peter 4 says that it is near. And so be watchful, be prayerful. When the return of Jesus Christ approaches, we've got to make ourselves ready. If we're going to be ready to marry him, as it says in Revelation 19:7, that means we're going to have to be changing. We're going to have to be overcoming. We're going to have to be growing. We're going to have to go on the offensive against our adversary, the devil. Verse 9, it says here, go ye therefore into the highways, and as many as you shall find, bid to the marriage. So those servants went into the highways and gathered together all as many as they found, both bad and good, and the wedding was furnished with guests. See, there will be guests at the wedding, but God has to go to the highways and byways just to find people who are willing. This is, it shows you just how the family, the traditional family, has totally, totally collapsed, whether you look at it physically or spiritually. Going back to my father's program from this past weekend, this is clip 12.
He said that if family life breaks down, all civilization will break down and go into anarchy. Well, look around. Isn't that what's happening in our society and in many parts of the world? That is what is happening, and you have children that are fatherless, and it's not working out like we thought it would. In 1973, Mr. Armstrong said, the very foundation of any nation's solidarity, strength, and power is a solid and stable family structure. See, he's talking about here, what we need is a powerful God-plane relationship, family relationship, marriage relationship on a God-plane level, a God-plane relationship. Hard to even fathom that majestic future God has given us if we want it.
That's my father's latest Key of David as he takes you through some of the teachings, the instructions of Herbert Armstrong. Of course, he wrote Why Marriage Soon Obsolete Is it going to be obsolete before it's all said and done? And why? Who came up with it? Who created marriage in the first place? Well, if you don't have that booklet, make sure you call our operators and request Why Marriage by Herbert W. Armstrong. The 800 number, it's 1-866-930-3024. Continuing in this parable, this is Matthew 22, verse 11. It says, "And when the king came, so they went to the highways and the byways, they invited in guests that would appear, that would go to this wedding supper." It says, "And when the king came in to see the guests, he saw there a man which had not on a wedding garment." And the king was upset by this. How do you show up to a wedding without a wedding garment, without dressing up for the occasion? This shows, I mean, when you look at it spiritually, it shows that we can't just show up as we are. There's a lot of people in the world of traditional Christianity who believe this. Just come as you are. You don't need to make any changes. You don't need to repent, like Peter said that you must in Acts 2:38. Just come as you are. That's not the truth of this parable here. That's not what God says. That's not what God teaches. Verse 12, it says, "And he said unto him, Friend, how came you in here not having a wedding garment? And he was speechless. And then said the king to the servants, Bind him hand and foot, take him away, and cast him into outer darkness. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth, for many are called, but few are chosen." Just how impactful, how meaningful is that last verse, given how many people have fallen away from the truth today? Many are called, but few are chosen. Few stay the course. Listen again to my father from his weekend Key of David, clip 13.
Look at the origin of the family. Mr. Armstrong said, well, the purpose is to be born of God, is what it's all about. He went on to talk about human men never did think out, devise, or institute the relationship of marriage with family and home life. Marriage was ordained by God, not by man. It is governed by the laws of God, and man has no jurisdiction over it in God's eyes. God is a family, and the Father is the head of that family. God wants to give us all of that. And yet today, you have a conspiracy against fatherhood. I've spoken about that many times in the past. And then here's what a recent Forbes article that said, this is from my son's commencement, quote, "The 1950s notion of the nuclear family with the man as the head of the household is no more. It just doesn't exist anymore," said Forbes. Is that a problem? Well, it is to God, and it should be to us.
That's my father's recent Key of David. The title, Marriage and Family Life is a God-Plane Relationship. We've got some literature. I mentioned Why Marriage, the booklet by Herbert Armstrong. This one here, The God Family Vision, my father wrote this many years ago. But if you put this together with the Why Marriage booklet, what a fascinating, inspiring study that will be. The 800 number, 1-866-930-3024. You are listening or viewing. You are viewing The Trumpet Daily. This is Stephen Fleury. I'm signing off, but you'll be happy to know that I'll be here again tomorrow, and we'll look forward to seeing you then.